Psalm 118, verse 24 says this, "This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." It is Monday morning, and many Americans have trouble on Mondays. We have the little acronym TGIF, thank God it's Friday, but not TGIM, thank God it's Monday. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. And I was thinking about that this morning, that the Psalm 118, verse 24, it's such a good verse of Scripture to start every day. This is the day, just today, this is the day which the Lord has made. What am I going to do with this day? I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. Regardless of what's going on in life, it's the day God made, and it's the day, only day we have. Yesterday's gone, tomorrow may not come. This is the day we have to live, just these hours in this day. So we don't want to live it moaning and groaning and griping and complaining. We want to live it rejoicing. Thank God it's Monday. So I hope you had a great weekend. I had a very wonderful weekend, busy weekend. And so we celebrated at First Baptist Texarkana. We celebrated the fact that God brought me to the church in February of 2003, my first official Sunday at First Baptist Texarkana. I was voted in January, on January 19th, 2003, and then I began my ministry here on February the 9th, 2003. So yesterday we celebrated 20 years of ministry. The church is 100 and, let's see, I have to do the math on that. So it was 125. The church is 145 years old, First Baptist Church, Texarkana. And in those years, we have had lots of pastors. I did my doctoral thesis on the church, and so I did reviews. This was back in 2013. I did a lot of reviewing the history. And guys, they would every year the pastor would be voted on. So it's almost like a teaching contract. You're up for a year, and the church votes on you. And if they want to keep you, they give you another year contract. So they went through pastors like you go through Kleenex. And the longest tenured pastor at First Baptist Texarkana before I got here was 17 years. And the second longest tenure was 12 years. The guy that I came after, Dr. Terry Land, he had been here 12 years. So he's the second longest tenured pastor in the history of the church. And so 145-year history. Well, I made it to 20 years. We give God all the praise for that. And so we had a day yesterday to watch a video, and it was really cool. It was a sermon that I had preached in June of 2003. I came in February and began to make changes. And you know how church people love changes. They just think that's wonderful, and change more things, being sarcastic. They don't like that. And so, but there were things that needed to change, and the pastor search committee knew, hey, things needed to change. And so it didn't take long before people got tired of the changes. And by June, there was a petition that that was very negative, and people, it wasn't just, hey, we want to get rid of Pastor Jeff, but if you read between the lines, it was like that. And so anyway, I preached a sermon in June. It was kind of make it or break it Sunday, and I called it When God Moves Your Cheese, based off of the business book, Who Moved Your Cheese? And so that was very, very popular in early 2000s, that book. And so I talked about change, how a church has to be anchored to the word, but speaking the culture of the day, just like a missionary who goes to a foreign land, he has to learn the language and the culture in order to effectively communicate with the people. He just can't come in with, I'm going to speak English to you, and I'm going to do it the ways of the West, because that's not going to communicate well to them. And so I was encouraging the church. I said, hey, we need to reach the next generation. We can't get old, because, you know, then you get old and die. And so Anyway, it was a make it or break it Sunday. And I said to the church, I said, listen, God didn't call me here so that we'd wander around in the wilderness for the next 40 years. And he didn't call me here so that we would go back to Egypt. You know, we need to move forward as a church and be the church God wants us to be, in a place where it's not a country club. It's a hospital for hurting people, and everyone's welcome regardless of your economic status, regardless of your skin color, regardless of, you know, any of your station in life, regardless of what's going on, the doors are open for you. Now, we are not going to deviate off the truth. And we want people that are deep in sin to come and hear the truth and respond to the truth. Jesus said, you shall know the truth and the truth will set you free. So we don't deviate from the truth. We speak the truth in love. And it is not loving to not speak the truth. And so we have seen God do great things in these 20 years. We give him all the praise and all the glory for that. And so we had that yesterday, and yesterday afternoon, I went and spoke to Little River Association in Arkansas at First Baptist Church in Nashville, and had a great time with the pastors there and just encouraged them in evangelism. And then we had a big service for the association. I talked about being a watchman on the wall from Ezekiel 33. It was a full day. I started at about 4:15 in the morning, and I got home about 9 o'clock that night. And so I had a good night's sleep last night because it was a full day. But I woke up this morning and thinking, man, this is the day that the Lord has made, and I'm going to choose to rejoice and be glad in it, even if my body is tired, even if there's a lot to do. Even if it's Monday, it's not Friday, it's Monday, but thank God it's Monday. And so that caused my wheels to turn, and I started thinking about my favorite basketball coach of all time, the great John Wooden. John Wooden was the coach of the UCLA Bruins way back when, and he's the most successful coach ever in the history of sports. And he won 10 national championships at UCLA in 12 years. I mean, unheard of for somebody to dominate the sport as he dominated the sport. And sometimes he dominated with just stellar athletes and you know, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who was Lew Alcindor then, and then Bill Walton, who followed Alcindor. But then sometimes he had the first national championship he won. He had good players, but they weren't very tall. I think his tallest player was 6'5". And then he won in 1975. That was his last victory before he retired, and national championship. And he had some good players, but not any just huge superstars like Alcindor and Walton. But here was the thing about Coach Wooden. He wasn't teaching guys how to play basketball. He was teaching guys how to do life. And I've read several books about Coach Wooden, and one of the ones I like the best is from Pat Williams. Pat Williams was the general manager of the Orlando Magic for many years. And it says in the literature about John Wooden, a core piece of his philosophy was based on a card his father gave him and gave his brothers when they graduated from elementary school. Now, John Wooden was born in 1910. He lived in a little farming town in Indiana, if memory serves. He died in 2010 at the age of 99. He loved his father. He talked about his father often, but this is what his father gave him, a little card. His father didn't have any money to give him, but he gave him wisdom. And so on one side of the card, there was a verse from Reverend Henry Van Dyke. It said this: four things a man must learn to do if he would make his life more true: to think without confusion clearly, to love his fellow man sincerely, to act from honest motives purely, to trust in God and heaven securely. That was the verse on one side of the card. And on the other side of the card, it was written, seven things to do. Number one, be true to yourself. Number two, help others. Number three, and I love this, make each day your masterpiece. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Drink deeply. Number four, drink deeply from good books, especially the Bible. Number five, make friendship a fine art. Number six, build a shelter against a rainy day. And number seven, pray for guidance and count and give thanks for your blessings every day. The seven things to do. So, make each day, number three, make each day your masterpiece. Rejoice in each day. We don't know what's going to happen today, and we don't know if tomorrow's going to come. You have probably heard about the earthquake in Turkey. A terrible earthquake is actually southeast Turkey. From what I read, it was two earthquakes. One was a magnitude of 7.8 on the Richter scale, and one was 7.6. So those are very, very powerful. And somebody said there were at least 900 dead and about 4,500 that are injured, some clinging to life. And it just came, as earthquakes do, without warning. And you just think everything's fine, and then all of a sudden, the building you're living in collapses and you're gone. And so we need to make each day our masterpiece, because we don't know when the last day is coming. You don't want to live, if this were your last day, thank God it's Monday. If this were your last day, you wouldn't want your last day to be lived in bitterness, in addiction, in jealousy, in strife, in some kind of a relationship, relational discord. You wouldn't want that. You would want things to be right. You would want to be able to meet the Lord in joy, not in shame. 1 John chapter 2 says, now little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink back in shame at his coming. We don't know when the Lord's going to come back. We know that he's told us to be ready. You don't know which day the Son of Man comes. I remember a sermon where the preacher said, you know, he's talking to his congregation, and he said, I think you're out there and you're saying, well, I don't think Jesus is coming today. And he said, well, that's the best evidence I know he might come today, because at an hour when you think not, the Son of Man comes. So the moment that we think he's not coming is the moment he is coming, and so we must be ready and live in readiness. My father-in-law had a little lapel pin that I liked, and it was a trumpet, and underneath the trumpet were the words, perhaps today. Perhaps today the trumpet will sound, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and Jesus will descend from heaven in the clouds with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall be raised, and we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. Caught up is the word we get our English word rapture from. Shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus shall we always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. And so, we live in readiness. And so if we if we encounter an earthquake, if we encounter a you know, deadly car wreck or some kind of instant death that we didn't plan for, we didn't prepare for it, boom, it just happens. And that can happen. I mean, especially people that are dropping dead with cardiac arrest, we're ready to go. We're ready to meet the Lord. And we make each day a masterpiece because we're living it for his glory, and we're choosing, we're making the choice to rejoice. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. And we are going to talk about more things to help you grow in the Christian life, and then open up the phone lines. So we're up against a break, but don't go away. We'll be right back.
Music. For over 40 years, American Family Association has stood for righteousness and God's truth in our nation.
American Family Association Executive Vice President Ed Vitagliano.
AFA is here every day fighting for the future of America, and praise be to God, we're making a difference. One important way you can join us in the battle is through a charitable gift annuity with the AFA Foundation. The charitable gift annuity benefits you, and it benefits the culture-transforming work of American Family Association.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting American Family Association. A charitable gift annuity helps you, and it allows AFA to impact America for generations to come. Phone 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Washington Watch advances a culture where human life is valued and religious liberty thrives.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins, host of Washington Watch, right here on the American Family Radio Network, inviting you to join us each weekend for the weekend edition of Washington Watch for the latest from our nation's capital on what is happening as it pertains to faith, family, and freedom. You'll hear from policymakers, congressional leaders, and others each day, 4 p.m. Central Time. Be there.
Some assume the apostles were specially gifted men who were quick to grasp and apply Jesus' teaching. This week on Truth for Life, we'll find out how ordinary and fallible the disciples actually were. Discover why following Jesus demands a radical shift in thinking. Listen to Truth for Life with Alistair Begg.
Weekday mornings at 11:30 Central on AFR and online at AFR.net.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it? That sounds like something to look into, and that's MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save the typical family $500 a month. And that's huge, but it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The customer satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. MediShare works. It's been around for more than a quarter century, and members have shared more than $3 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So yeah, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your healthcare. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. A very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. From His Heart is heard every weeknight at 6 p.m. Central Time right here on American Family Radio. And we're talking about John Wooden's, his seven things to do, the little piece of paper that his dad gave him. John Wooden, the legendary coach of the UCLA Bruins, who won 10 national championships in 12 years, seven things to do. He based his whole life on these seven things. And as we said in the first segment, number one, be true to yourself. Number two, help others. Number three, make each day your masterpiece. Number four, drink deeply from good books, especially the Bible. Number five, make friendship to fine art. And number six, build a shelter against a rainy day. And number seven, pray for guidance and count and give thanks for your blessings every day. So let's look at some of those in a little more detail. Be true to yourself. You know, I think, and as I was talking to the pastors yesterday at the Little River Association, you have to be who you are, who God made you to be. Don't try and be somebody you're not. People long for authenticity. Being a pastor is not wearing a hat and talking a certain way and acting a certain way. It's walking in the light with Jesus. It's being an example to others to say, hey, as Paul said to the Corinthians, be imitators of me as I follow Christ. hey, I'm going in the right direction because I'm following Jesus. So if you imitate me, you're going to be walking after Jesus too. And you have to be true to yourself. We had on Friday David Allen, Dr. David Allen on the program, and we were talking about the subject of preaching. He's the preaching coach, and he's been a seminary professor for many, many years teaching guys how to preach. And we talked about humor. You know, some guys are naturally funny, and some guys aren't. So if you're not funny, don't try and make yourself funny, because it's not going to work very well. You know, some guys are just terrible at telling jokes, and some guys have good timing. You know, humor is a lot about timing, and it's hard to teach that. And so if you're funny, you can add that to your sermons. If you're not, just be true to yourself. Be authentic, because people are looking for authenticity. So that was the number one things to do. Be true to yourself. Don't try to be someone you're not. And be comfortable in your own skin. God made you the way he made you. And I am fearfully, as it says in Psalm 139, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. And number two, seven things to do. Help others. It's amazing how your attitude toward life brightens when you are using your life to help somebody else. I remember my pastor, Damon Shook, made a statement once from the pulpit I've never forgotten, and he was talking about selfishness, and he said, a person all wrapped up in himself makes for a very small package. Hey, get out of yourself and look to see other people that you can help. You can help them with a word. You can help them with a look. You can help them with a touch. You can help them financially. You can help them by serving them. You can help them by sending a note. You know, sometimes we downplay the value of sending somebody a handwritten note that lets them know, hey, I was thinking about you today. I'm praying for you. I love you. Now, we can do that in text. We can do that in email. There's something about a handwritten note, though, because that's more of a rarity today, that really can minister to people. So help others. And as we said, make each day your number three. Make each day your masterpiece, because that's all you have to live is today. And you may not live to the end of the day. And so so say, Lord, this is the day. I want to really work on today. I want to love you. I want to love people. The first two commandments, the greatest commandments on these two commandments, loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said, on these two commandments hang the law and the prophets. And so I want to do that today. And as I heard one preacher say, he said, you know, if you focus on those two things, and at the end of the day you said, hey, God, I loved you a little more today, and I loved my neighbor a little more today, it was a good day, because you focused on the two greatest commandments, the vertical relationship between you and God, the horizontal relationship between you and your neighbor. Number four, drink deeply from good books, especially the Bible. Now, Wooden grew up in, he was born in 1910, and he's getting all this from his father, who was obviously older, and there wasn't a lot of other things to do. And so at nighttime, his dad would read to them. They'd read poetry and read the Bible, read other books. And so he learned, John learned, Coach Wooden, from a young age, that there's so much to learn from good books, and especially the good book, especially the Word of God. And so he would drink deeply from those. And he was a voracious reader, and he loved poems, and there's no downplaying how much he grew emotionally, mentally, physically, spiritually, by drinking deeply from good books. I know there are a lot of guys, and reading is a challenge. You know, guys tend to say, well, I want to watch TV, I don't want to read. One of the things that you can do, I do this on a pretty regular basis. I have an app on my phone that'll read the Bible to me. And so when I'm getting ready in the morning, this morning, I listen to the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And so I'm brushing my teeth, and I'm, you know, grooming and getting ready for the day, I'm listening to Matthew 5, 6, and 7. So look for those times, times in the car. You know, if you can find a good book on audio tape. Debbie and I, on YouTube, we just found Animal Farm by George Orwell, which is such a great book, a timeless classic that speaks to our day for sure in the rise of socialism. But you can listen to that in the car. The Animal Farm was only like 3 hours. Some of the books on tape are very long, but there are lots and lots of good books on tape that you can listen to in the car and take advantage of that time. Drink deeply from good books, especially the Bible. I am an auditory learner, so it really helps me if I hear it and see it. And I can memorize lots of things in the scripture when I just hear them over and over again. Number five, make friendship a fine art. I remember it was Chuck Swindoll who said he did a study once on all the different names that Paul lists in his letters. So-and-so greets you, and this person helped me, and that person. And he said there were about 100 names that Paul would list in his letters. And he said, Paul was a good friend to many people, and they were friends to him. And he really made friendship a fine art. And, you know, he poured his life into Timothy and Titus, his sons in the faith. And that's an example to you and me that we need to develop friendships with people and friendships that last. And we need to be the ones that say, hey, I'm going to reach out to you and let's get together and let's have lunch together, or let's go work out together, or let's go run together, or let's do something together, or let's play golf together. I have some friends that I play golf with, and they're very gracious to me because I'm a terrible golfer. I just don't have the golf gene. I like golf, but I'm really bad at it. And I've watched too many YouTube videos, and so I have about 50,000 swing thoughts, and that's not good for golf. But make friendship a fine art, because friends are that's a special, special thing. You have family, and then you have friends. Jesus, the scripture refers to him as a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Number seven, build a shelter against a rainy day. Prepare. Hey, this is the day that the Lord has made. Tomorrow may not come, but we need to prepare for tomorrow. Very foolish is the man, the woman, who doesn't prepare for a rainy day, doesn't have a rainy day fund. What happens if I'm not able to work? Do I have money set aside? Some people just blow so much money and they're not saving for that rainy day. It's important to build a shelter against a rainy day. I still remember a sermon I heard years ago from Matthew 7, where you have the wise man and the foolish man. The wise man built his house on the rock. The foolish man built his house on the sand. That the wise man who built his hand on the rock, his house on the rock, is the one who heard the Lord's word and acted upon them. The foolish man was the one who heard the Lord's word and didn't act upon them. And both houses, they look good from the street, so to speak, but one has a solid foundation and the other doesn't. And how do you know? It's when the storms come, because both houses experienced the same storms. The rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and burst against the house. The house on the rock stood, and the house on the sand was washed away. Hey, you have to put your foundation down when it's dry. We know that in building. You pour the concrete not during a rainstorm. You pour it when it's dry, because when the rain comes, you can't pour the foundation. And so we need, while the sun's out, we need to build our lives on the Lord Jesus and not wait till the bottom drops out and then cry out 911 prayer. Okay, Lord, I want to build my house. And the Lord says, well, it is raining. We can't pour the foundation now. It's raining. So you got to take advantage now. Build your shelter against a rainy day. And then number seven, pray for guidance. God wants to guide us if we'll just ask him. He says, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Pray for guidance and count and give thanks for your blessings every day. You know, we have that song that we sing sometimes in church, count your blessings, name them one by one. We tend so much to not count our blessings, but to compare our blessings. We look around at other people. What do they have? We go through their Facebook feed, and we see how they are showing their lives and their marriages and their families and all these wonderful things. And we're like, well, I don't have that. And so we compare our blessings instead of count our blessings. We need to just know that, hey, whatever God's given us is a gift. Every good and perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variation nor shadow of turning, as James says. And we need to give thanks to God for what we have, for the good things and for the hard things, for the trials. As the old Andre Crouch song says, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. If I never had a problem, I wouldn't know that He could solve them. I wouldn't know what faith in God could do. We need to give God thanks for the hard times. Now, my 20 years at First Baptist Texarkana, there were a lot of hard times. And I'm not everybody's favorite person. And, you know, a lot of times my friend, Dr. Charles Lowry, he says, hey, remember Q-tip, quit taking it personally. It's not that they don't like you. It's that they don't like the direction the pastor is leading the church. It's not necessarily a personal thing, although it can become personal. But he said pastors need to quit taking it personally and just know, as Jesus said, hey, if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. If you follow Jesus fully, you're not going to please everyone. And so that's okay. You just need to please one, the one. And have a testimony like Enoch who walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. But before the Lord took him, he obtained this testimony, it says in Hebrews, that he pleased God. If you please God, it doesn't matter whom you displease. But if you displease God, it doesn't matter whom you please. We live for the applause and the well done of one, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we thank God for the hard times. We thank Him for the difficult times because we know in those difficulties He is working on us and He is growing us. God can't, He does His work on a person to get him strong so He can elevate that person. You think of Joseph in the book of Genesis. Joseph had lots of difficulties. And God didn't make it easy for Joseph. He got sold into slavery by his brothers. I mean, that is a deep, deep wound. And then he was able to bounce back and say, "Okay, Lord, I'm going to be the best servant of Potiphar that he's ever seen." And he was. And God blessed him. The Lord was with him. But then Potiphar's wife lies about him, and so he ends up in prison. And so he hadn't done anything to warrant being a servant in Egypt, to warrant being a prisoner in Egypt. They're all things done to him, but he chose to keep trusting the Lord, to keep praying for guidance, to keep counting his blessings and thanking God that he was still with them, because it says over and over, when you study the life of Joseph, the Lord was with Joseph. That's all you and I need, is the Lord's presence, his peace, his grace, his power, his presence, all that comes with his presence. And when we have that, we have everything, because he will never leave us and never forsake us. So let me encourage you, as I encourage myself, to put these seven things into practice every single day and to spend time in the Word of God and time in prayer, as it says in Acts chapter 6, but we will devote ourselves to two things, prayer and the ministry of the Word. And when you devote yourself to prayer and the ministry and the word, of the Word, and loving God with all your heart and loving your neighbor as you love yourself, God can use you to do great things. Well, we're going to open the phone lines when we come back. The number to call is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. And I'd love to talk to you about the seven things or whatever is on your heart on this Monday. Hey, TGIM, thank God it's Monday, because He has things He wants to do in us and through us this day. Don't go away.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
We believe true morality flows from biblical principles and directs people to the manner in which God intends them to live.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us as we seek to stop the erosion of godly values.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on our liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
The credit card debt happened when my daughter was born. I was using one credit card account to roll over into another credit card account, and it was snowballing.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
When I first called Trinity, the representative understood the need based on the situation. There were great people to work with. From the first phone call that I made, they had me on a track to mitigate the credit card debt.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
Working with Trinity gave me the ability to save thousands of dollars. My name's Doug, and thanks to Trinity, I'm debt-free for keeps.
Call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
Rob West of Faith and Finance.
If you've listened any length of time, you're aware that we often underscore the importance of preparing for the future. It's one way for Christians to be good stewards of the resources God has entrusted to us. Well, as you look into the future, I suggest you consider the AFA Foundation in your estate planning. The offerings of the AFA Foundation can help you to shore up permanent income for your retirement years, and at the same time, support the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. Why not contact Riley Wildman and the team at the AFA Foundation today to see if including the AFA Foundation in your estate plan is right for you. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345. Or visit them online at afafoundation.net.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, and we're talking about John Wooden's seven things and how we can look at each day and say, this is the day which the Lord has made, and we are going to make the choice, regardless of what's going on, the choice to rejoice in it. It changes everything when you look at each day that way. As we said at the top of the show, thank God it's Friday, TGIF, everybody knows that. I don't know anybody who says TGIM. Thank God it's Monday. Most people are like, Monday. Monday is such a hard day. Monday needs to be a great day. It's another opportunity to make a difference for the kingdom, another day that God has given us to witness. The Bible talks about rejoicing in the Lord. And let all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. And let those who love your salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. Hey, that's what we get to do every day. We can say continually, Lord, be magnified in my life. I want you to be glorified. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. No doubt some people went out this morning and you have a tough job. Your job is very demanding physically, or maybe it's very demanding. Maybe you're taking care of little kids or you're teaching school. That can be very demanding emotionally. It's getting harder and harder. We need to be praying for our public school teachers, harder and harder to do those jobs. And but it's an opportunity to make a difference. And whatever you do, you don't have to be in ministry as a vocation to glorify God. They believe it was Martin Luther who said a dairymaid can milk cows to the glory of God when she does it for his praise and for his honor. And so whatever you do, do it with all your heart. We don't please men. We don't serve men per se. We serve the Lord. And so we're not just doing our jobs and working hard when the boss is there seeing us, because our master is the Lord in heaven, and he sees everything we do. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, watching the evil and the good, Proverbs 15:3. And so we want to work each day to the best of our ability, to the glory of God, whatever he's called us to do, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Well, the phone lines are open, 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. And so I'd love to talk to you about some of these things. And I did want to share this. I got a great email this morning from a dear lady who was in our church for many, many years before she moved away. I believe she lives in Oklahoma City now. But she said, blessings on your 20th anniversary. The years have flown by. She said, I remember Dr. Nathan Wright. He was the chairman of the Pastor Search Committee when I came to First Baptist Texarkana. She said, I remember Dr. Nathan Wright saying early on he had visions of your influence going around the world. He was right on. Your outreach is expanding by leaps and bounds. Thank you. And it was just such a sweet note. But I remember that with Dr. Nathan Wright, pediatrician. He's retired now, but he did have that vision that the Lord had given him, that from First Baptist Texarkana, which is not a big place. I mean, Texarkana is a twin city. We're right on the border of Texas and Arkansas and close to Louisiana. That's where you get the name Texarkana from those three states. And he had that vision early on that our church, God was going to use our church to make an impact on the world. And through From His Heart Ministries, we're able to do that as we broadcast around the nation and as we broadcast around the world through television, through Trans World Radio, and through the media, or through the internet. And God has used us, and it's exciting when you hear from people in Africa, and people in India, and people in Australia, and they comment. We have somebody that supports us there in Australia, and it's just really, really cool to see that. And that was all what the Lord had dropped into Nathan's heart early on, that God was going to use our church for this great thing. And here was the cool thing. I love this. I always get teary when I think about it. Nathan's such a sweet guy, and he's such a prayer warrior. And he said that as the chairman of the deacons, or chairman of the pastor search committee, he said the Lord really spoke to his heart and said, Nathan, I'm giving you one more chance to get my man, not your man, but my man for the church. And so he knew, and they prayed, and that wonderful search committee prayed, and they wanted God's man. And I asked him, I said, well, what was your profile for the pastor that you wanted at the church? And they said, we took all our profiles and threw them in the trash. We just said, God, we want your man to be here. And so that was exciting for me because they took a big chance on me. I had never pastored before. I was on staff at a church, but I was the backup quarterback, so to speak, and I had never been the starting quarterback. Everybody loves the backup quarterback. I was really well-loved at Champion Forest in Houston and came here, and Q-tip, quit taking it personally. I was surprised when I started getting resistance because I hadn't experienced that before, but it wasn't me personally. It was just the direction and things. So the phone lines are open, and we have Linda on the line from Oklahoma. Linda, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hi, and this is my first time calling.
Oh, well, thank you.
I just Yeah, and I just want to tell you, I love you. I love to hear you talk about the coming of Jesus. That what woke me up when I heard you say it, for us to hear the trumpet sound and for us to be get ready.
Yeah.
And I want to tell you, I'm ready.
How wonderful. Well, where do you live in Oklahoma, Linda?
I live in Lawton, Oklahoma.
Uh-huh. Very
and
good.
And you know, the Lord tells us to tarry, but everybody and all the preachers that you hear, and everybody will say, well, we tarry until the Lord come. But when you says for us to get ready, I love to hear that. Because we need to be getting ready. He wants us to tarry. And some of the people tarry so, they forget about to say that Jesus is coming.
Right.
But you say it right out, Jesus is coming. Get ready. The trump is going to blow. And I know it's going to blow. And I'm ready.
Amen. That is great news. And Linda, thank you for calling today, and you've blessed my heart, and I appreciate you listening to the program and calling in. And that's how we need to live. We need to live ready for the Lord to come back. And man, if he came back today, wouldn't that be awesome? So God bless you, my sister, and the Lord give you a great day today. Well, we have Claude on the line from Virginia. Claude, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you. I want to compliment AFR and your program as well. I listen quite a bit. But my question is concerning having women and deacons in a church. What is your stance on that? Or what do you think it should be?
Yeah. Well, we don't have any women deacons at our church, and we think that I believe that the Bible is clear that God has set aside roles for men and roles for women, just like he did in marriage. You know, the man is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church, and the wife was created to be the husband's helper. And so life in the family goes well when the husband lovingly leads his wife and the wife respectfully is there to help her husband. When it gets reversed, it doesn't go well. When the woman takes the lead, that's not the way God intended it. I think that God has called men to be the leaders in the church, and we desperately need women to help us with that. But as far as the offices of pastor and the office of deacon, those are men. And it says in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, deacons must be husbands of only one wife and good managers of their children and their own households. For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a high standing and great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. So it doesn't say, you know, deacons must be wives of only one husband. So that's obviously talking about a man in the position of a deacon, and talks about in 1 Timothy 3 before that, the qualifications for the pastor, and he needs to be a one-woman man, the husband of one wife. So that's how I see that, Claude. How do you see it?
One more brief question about women teaching mixed classes. Is that allowable if men are in there?
Yeah, that good question. I think it can depend. I think if a husband and wife teach a class together, and the husband is the leader of the class, but the wife is helping teach in there too, I personally don't have a big problem with that. If it's just the wife's class and the husband's not involved, and that she's teaching men and women, I would have a harder time with that. But I know Debbie and I do, we'll, especially with marriage and parenting things, we'll do a lot of things together. And you know, she's encouraging the women, I'm encouraging and helping the men. And so we go back and forth. But just to have you know, a class that's led by a woman that is open to men and women, that's a little more difficult for me.
Right. All right. Well, I appreciate your response, and God bless you and your program. Thank you.
Hey, thank you, Claude. I appreciate that, and God bless you, my friend. All right. We have our friend Alan from North Carolina. Alan, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you for taking my call, Pastor Jeff. There's so much that you've said today, but I just wanted to hit on the fact that, as I mentioned before, I'm a combat veteran and was almost killed twice. But during the Vietnam War, you didn't know from one day to the next if you would live to the next. Somebody stayed with me that every morning when I wake up and I'm alive, I roll out of bed and get on my knees and I thank the Lord. But you know that every single day that we wake up is a gift from God, and we need to take it and use it to the greatest extent possible.
That's for sure, because one day he's gonna say, okay, that's all your time. We don't know when that's gonna be, and you know, I think most of us want to live a long life and, you know, call all our kids and grandkids together and say, okay, you know, it's kind of like Jacob, I'm ready to go the way of all flesh and call all our kids and give them a blessing and that kind of thing, and then curl up our toes and die. But, you know, we don't have that promise. And so we never know when, boom, you're going to have a heart attack. You're going to have something happen that would take your life. And we have to be ready to meet the Lord and ready in our relationships. You know, we want to tell our loved ones that we love them and let people know that, you know, we're praying for them and that we have good communication, if possible, so far as it depends on you. Be at peace with all men, Romans 12:18. We want to have those things in place so that when the Lord calls us, we can meet him with confidence and with joy and not in shame at his coming. So good word, Alan. God bless you, my friend, and thank you for your service for our country. Well, we have Ron on the line from Michigan. Ron, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thanks for taking my call, Pastor Jeff. Just a quick comment. I do think that God's design would be for men to serve as elders, deacons, pastors. Yet at the same time, I probably would never have a daily vacation Bible school in the summer if it weren't for the women doing the teaching because the men were working. So I do think that it's God's design that men serve as elders and deacons. Here again, you made the comment earlier. I actually made it last week. God created women to be companions, to be helpers. It's not as if they're inferior.
Right.
It's just that's his design. Very quickly, if I could, I think it's so troublesome to me that the feminists of today have made it so that women are somehow inferior if they stay home, take care of the house, do the cooking, keep the house. I don't think there's anything more glorifying than a woman that does stay home, take care of the house, so on and so forth. But yet, feminists or liberals today would say that they're not fulfilled. And I totally disagree with that.
Well, I would too. And Ron, one of the things that Debbie and I share this with couples, it's okay for the wife to work outside the home if she wants to. But the husband needs to make sure he sets it up to where she has the freedom. If he forces her to do that because their lifestyle is such that they can't make it unless she's working too and she wants to stay home but can't, that will make her resentful of her husband. And so we need to give our wives the freedom to do the things they want. But I totally agree with you. They're most fulfilled when they are at home taking care of the kids and loving life that way, because that's the way God designed it. Well, I'm sorry we didn't get to Lee in Ohio, but Lee, call back tomorrow. I'd love to talk to you about that question. You've been listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. I'll be with you again tomorrow. Hey, go out, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and God will use you as a blessing. God bless you.